I'm pretty sure all of us grew up playing the great game of hide and seek. You know, the game where, you know, someone stands in the corner, covers their eyes, counts to 20, everyone else splits, finds a place under a bed, behind a curtain, in mum and dad's cupboard, and stays as quiet as they can, trying not to be found. My family and I have been watching a show on telly, which is like a massive game of hide and seek. It's called Hunted. You might have seen it. The people are hiding in pairs. They're allowed to move, and as long as they don't go outside of Victoria, that's all fair game. So that's the boundaries of the game, Victoria. And so they're allowed to move. And if they don't get caught in a month, then they share $100,000. So serious game of hide and seek. And you'd think if you had the whole run of Victoria for a month, you'd be able to hide, no problems. But the hunters or the seekers in this game are pretty well equipped. Ex-police, military, they've got helicopters, drones, tech experts, psychologists. They've got the mobile phones of the people who are hiding and therefore all their contacts. Stick a card in the ATM and they'll know where you are. They'll track your car. And it seems, actually, we've only watched a few episodes, that it's going to be impossible for any of these people to last a month because the seekers are after them and they will find them. Terrifying in terms of technology and people's ability to track you as that. Hide and seek. And we're going to look at a verse today, another one of these Jesus said verses, which is all about seeking, a fervent desire to find something. And so today's verse is Matthew 6:33, which says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Of course, it's a very well-known verse. I'm sure many of you growing up singing up the scripture in the song verse, song that goes with these words as well. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. So pretty straightforward. I'm really saying that of all things, you should make it your greatest priority to seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. And then there's a promise that if you do that, if you give your life's pursuit to seeking after God, that he will look after you, that he will care for your needs. Now, last week we covered the verse after this, so it was exactly the same Bible reading last week. If you weren't here, that'll be on the app or on the website. But last week, Matthew 6:34, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And isn't that true? And so we looked at that, and last week we looked at the link between worry and our hearts, and we said that worry is something that happens in our minds, in our thinking, and is connected to what's in our heart and our passions, because the things that we give our hearts to, the things that we care most about, are the things that we'll worry most about, and the things that we don't give a rip about are the things that we won't worry about at all. And last week Jesus focused on that do not worry part in terms of our minds by just giving two points why we shouldn't worry. The first one was the folly of worry. Worry doesn't change anything. Worry makes no difference. Remember Jesus said, who can add 1 hour to their entire life by worrying? Nobody. And then the father of flowers, as we're reminded of the heavenly father who loves his children. And we're told to look at the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, and see how our heavenly father looks after them. And if he looks after them, how much more will he look after us? And so we can cast our troubles on him and we don't need to worry. Great verses of scripture. Today we're kind of looking at the other half of that. What do we give our hearts to? And the verse is telling us to give our hearts to God, to God's kingdom. And whatever our hearts belong to, we've already said, is what we will worry most about. And as we give our hearts to God, the worries of this world seem to fall away. You remember the verse of this song that says this: "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And so that's what this verse will be encouraging us to do, to turn from our troubles and turn to look at Jesus. So let's have a look at the words that are before us, Matthew 6:33, and ask that God would minister to our hearts today and our passions. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So let's break that down a little. Seek first the kingdom of God, his kingdom and his righteousness. See that this is all about your priorities, to seek God first, to make him your greatest priority. God doesn't want to be one of many priorities in your life. He doesn't want to come second, third, fifth, 15th, or equal first. God actually wants to be front and central in your life. And Jesus teaching his people here in the Sermon on the Mount to put first God and his kingdom and his righteousness. Which means, of course, our relationships, our future ambitions, our work, our success, our sport, our hobbies, all must come after Jesus, not him. So him at the front and everything else behind him. So it's a matter of priorities. But what is it that we're meant to seek as our greatest and highest priority? Well, it says his kingdom, God's kingdom. Now, God's kingdom is a huge theme in the entire Bible. In fact, in the book of Matthew, massive theme, 54 times God's kingdom or the kingdom of heaven is mentioned in Matthew. In fact, Jesus' first sermon, the sermon he preached probably the most, is this, repent for the kingdom of heaven is here. And so Jesus talked all about this kingdom of God. So it must be important. But what is the kingdom of God? If it's so important, what is it? Well, I try and make it simple for myself by thinking, well, what is a kingdom? What does a kingdom have? Well, a kingdom has a king. And who's the king of God's kingdom? Jesus is the king of God's kingdom. God's son, who walked this earth, died on a cross, rose again. He's the king. He's the king. And one day, every single person will confess him to be Lord, to be king. He's the king of the kingdom. Well, what else does a kingdom have? A kingdom has a land or a place that the king rules over. So if Albany had a king, which would be interesting, but the king would rule over Albany, that would be the place. And as we look in the Old Testament, there was a place, actually, a place called Israel, that the kings that God appointed ruled over. But now in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit's come. Where is it that God rules? Where is it that Jesus the King rules? The land actually is the hearts of the people who have given their lives to him. The hearts of all people who have submitted themselves to the king, trusted in the king and what he'd done for them on the cross. And so the kingdom of God is everywhere that God's people are. All over the world is where God's kingdom is. What else does a king do? Well, a king rules. How does King Jesus rule? Well, by his love and his grace and through his word. And of course, his people sit under his word, trusting it, believing in it, and obeying it as we do that. So what does it mean to seek first then? Make it your highest priority to seek the kingdom of God. Well, it means two things. Firstly, personally, it means that Jesus become your king of your entire life. That all parts and all aspects of your life and my life bow down or submit to this king and obey him. So from our future plans and ambitions to our work life, to our friendships, to our relationships, to our sexuality and gender, everything bows to King Jesus. And the life pursuit of following Jesus, of course, is continuing to turn over areas to him that we haven't let him rule before, as we submit to him. The second, of course, thing about making God's kingdom the highest priority is expanding the kingdom, of being all on about Jesus the King, so that people who don't know the King can be part of the kingdom of God as we take the good news of the gospel that Jesus the King died in your place for your sins and rose again, and He will take you and make you one of His if only you would trust in Him. So that's our kids, that's our neighbours, it's our workmates, it's the people that we come across. The putting the kingdom first is being on about the kingdom and telling others about it and inviting them in. So Jesus has already said that He wants it to make us our highest ambition, our greatest desire to be on about God's kingdom, about Jesus the King. But secondly, He also says, and His righteousness. So what would it mean to make God's righteousness your highest priority? Well, what is righteousness? Well, it's God's goodness, it's God's holiness, it's God's rightness. And God is so good and so holy and right that we can actually never attain that. We can never live that good, can we? But that's the gospel message, that if we put our trust in Jesus, that His righteousness, God's righteousness, becomes ours. And so seeking God's righteousness is all about the gospel and putting Jesus first in our life and trusting in His cross. But there's a second aspect, of course, which is living out what that means. It's being good and right and holy ourselves, and being like Jesus the King in the places that we go. So the kingdom of God comes to people who are in the darkness when a Christian comes into their world and is like Christ to them in the way that they speak and treats people and is kind to them. Now, you will be very familiar with coming home and walking into a house where a lamb roast has been cooking for the last few hours, and it's just a great smell. It fills the lungs. The saliva starts to come already. You can smell it now, can't you? What have you got for lunch today? It's broccoli. No. lamb roast, that savoured aroma. Well, of course, the Christian is meant to bring the aroma of Christ, the aroma of the kingdom of God into the places that they go. And for some people, as the verse says, that aroma will lead to life. It will smell wonderful. And for others, it will be the stench of death. But it's our job to bring that to the world like salt and light. So there we go. So our greatest priority is to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. And then there's this promise that goes at the end of that. If we do that, God will give us all things that we need. So what is that? What are these all things that He's talking about? Well, we need to read from verse 31 to see this. It says, "Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So rather than spending your life running after all the things that you need to survive, spend your life running after God and His kingdom, and God promises to look after you and your needs. In one way, God's saying, "You worry about me and my kingdom, and I'll worry about you and your needs." And notice that this promise is to do with our needs, not our wants. There's no promise here that you follow after Jesus and you'll have your bank account full and overflowing and a great mansion and the best car in the street. That's not what it's saying. Run after Jesus, and He will give you what you need. And it's amazing, as we put our focus on Jesus and His kingdom, the things that we want change anyway. Our heart's desire start to change. And rather than trying to keep up with the Joneses and the neighbours and this competition of endless consumerism and stuff, our hearts change as well. To put that another way, run hard after Jesus and you don't need to worry. Your Father will look after you. Now, the verse just about dares us, doesn't it? It just about dares us to say, "God, really? If I give myself fully to living for you, will you really look after me? If I really give up everything to live for you and your kingdom, will you really look after me? Now, of course, if you've been around for a while, if you've been following Jesus for a while, if you've been talking to your friends for a while, I can't think of a single person who wouldn't have that as their testimony. That for those who have given up all things to follow Jesus, that God has looked after them. For me personally, I gave up a lucrative physiotherapy career to go to Bible college and to become a pastor, and God's never stopped looking after me and my needs. And I can think of many people who have gone to the mission field or to other places and sought hard after God and his kingdom, and their testimony is the same, that God has looked after them. So the question is, have we made God and his kingdom the highest priority of our life? Are we running hard after Jesus? Are we following the King? Now, it's worth mentioning as we consider that about our own lives that for our heart, this is all about our heart and what has your heart, it's not a one-horse race. There's many things that want your heart. There's many rivals that would seek to entice your heart. And there's a competition going on for your heart and my heart. Who will you give your heart to? And in three verses in this same chapter, verses 19, 22 and 24, Jesus gives some very short teaching about our hearts and the rivals for it as we are called to follow after Jesus. And he firstly says, where is your treasure? And then what is your vision? And then who is your master? And so let's quickly look at those verses earlier on in the chapter. Jesus starts by talking about the type of treasure that you're building and says, are you building treasure on earth or in heaven? If you build treasure on earth, well, it might get destroyed, it might get eaten, it might get stolen. And so he uses a really logical argument appealing to our brain and saying, look, if you want to make your investment count in your life, then work for heaven, work for God's kingdom, put your effort into something that won't get stolen or corroded or eaten, and do that for all eternity. If you're smart and savvy as an investor, work for something that will last and that can't be taken from you. And then verse 21, he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Of course, that's then going straight after our hearts. What is it that we're putting our time and ambition and effort into? Because that's where our heart lies. What are we building up? Where are we storing up? That's where our heart belongs. Now, secondly, he talks about our vision. And there in verse 22 and 23, he talks about your eyes being like a window into your life. If you've got good eyes, then you can see, and there's light in. If you've got bad eyes, you can't see. And he says, if you're following after God and his kingdom, it's like there's light streaming into you. You can see, you're healthy, you have a perspective of the world. But if you seek after this world and the stuff in it, then it's like you're full of darkness. You can't see. Now, of course, most of our world can't see, therefore, based on this saying. They think they can see, but the light in them is darkness. They can't see. And finally, in verse 24, Jesus asks a very confronting question. He says, who are you serving? Or more realistically, who are you a slave to? And he says you can't actually be a slave to more than one slave master. You can only be a slave to one master. Who is it that you're a slave to? And he says you cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve both God and money. You'll either serve one or you'll serve the other, but you can't serve both. Which is interesting because we all think we can do both. But Jesus doesn't think that. You've either got one or the other. Now, we live on earth, we live in the here and now, we have all the things around us that we can see and that we can buy, And it's just about irresistible, isn't it? The world and the things around us. It's intoxicating, the things that want to grab our hearts. It doesn't matter what age you are, whether it's a kid with their desire for their toys, whether it's a teenager and their desire for their image, whether it's a young adult and their desire to their status on social media, whether it's a parent and their desire to give everything to their children, a retiree and their desire to do all the good things in life. The desire of this world, the here and now, is so irresistible, isn't it? Our hearts latch on to those things, our dreams, intoxicating. But it's into that place that Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, let's think about what this verse means for you and me. What it means for you and me, not the person that you wish was here listening to this sermon. Well, actually, you're already thinking about that person now, so let's talk about them for a moment first. What does this verse mean for other people that come across your network, the people that you see every day or every week, the people that you'll see this week? How could you use this verse to help them? Now, I'm just going to share a quick secret on how to be a Christian who loves people really well, who does really good pastoral care. It's just so simple. There's just two things you need to do when you meet up with a friend who's struggling. Two things. You need to point them to Jesus and you need to pray for them. That's it. If you point them to Jesus and you pray for them, you've nailed it as a good friend, a good Christian friend. But in terms of pointing them to Jesus, this verse is exceptional for doing that. I use this verse all the time when I'm meeting with people who come to me with their troubles and say, you know, friend, just seek first God and his kingdom and let God worry about the rest. Put him first. Because everyone seems to think that their horizontal problems, their problems with other people or their future or their money or their health are their greatest problems. But no, our greatest problems are our vertical problems. Get our relationship right with God, seek hard after him, and let him worry about these things as well. So you might be sitting in a cafe this week having a coffee with someone, someone shares some struggles, and then you might say to them, oh, this week we were at church, we were looking at just one sentence that Jesus said, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And I think that means for you right now, like you need to turn to Jesus and give him your full attention and let him worry about your troubles. Now, you could say a line like that, or you could say something different. So I'm actually going to give you a minute or two with the people around you to discuss what is it that you could say from this verse to a friend that you might come across this week. Go. Okay. Did someone say something really good to you? I want to ask you if you said something good to someone else, because everyone thinks what they say is good. Did someone say something really helpful to you that would be useful to say while having a coffee with someone this week? Something you could do to help point someone to Jesus from this verse? I think the main thing for us is to go, oh, that verse is actually true. And what you need and what I need is the same thing, as to put Jesus first and central in our life and to actually go there in our conversations with people. Let's apply that now to our own hearts. Give our own lives and our own hearts our full attention for a moment as we think about this verse. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Does your heart belong to God? Have you given him your life, all of it, your future, your present, your past, your relationships, your work, your stress, your family? Do they belong to him? Are you seeking him first? Have you given him your entire life? Is it your greatest ambition to see God's kingdom grow? Not your kingdom, but his kingdom. As you think about those things, you realize that God needs to keep working on our hearts, doesn't he? Because it's so enticing to be drawn to other things. And that's my experience that, you know, surely, yeah, God's there in my life and he's important in my life, but it's so easy to grab onto other things. And again, this verse pulls us back. It causes us to confess our sins, that we've moved our eyes from the center, from Jesus, and put them on other things. And so we'll take a moment now to do that, to pray, to put God back first, confess our sin and our straying from him. Now, if you're not a believer, if you've never put Jesus first in your life, you've been running your own life, then this verse says to you, put Jesus as your king. Give him your life. Go to him and ask for your sins to be forgiven because of what he's done on the cross. Come into his kingdom. So I'll give us some time now on that to think and to pray, and then I'll pray for you. Father, in your word, you tell us about a time where it will be just your kingdom that's left. Christ as the king, us as your people, people from every tribe, nation and language and tongue, assembling around the throne. And what a great day that will be, and not just one day, an eternity of days with you and your people. In that place, nothing else will take our hearts. We'll be centered on you. Help us to run hard after you now. Help us to give our lives to building treasure that lasts forever. To live for your kingdom and not for now and ours. To give up on seeking pleasure and fame and possessions as our greatest desire, but to seek you. So do minister to our hearts. Center us on Christ, we pray. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.